Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is Lincoln's home for sports talk on the FM dial. Also online at theticketfm.com.
On the internet.
KNTK FM Firth, 93.7 The Ticket.
Get rid of pesky critters once and for all with Bats to Rats. Their expert team is here to help you reclaim your home. No more sleepless nights caused by crawling critters or flapping wings. Bats to Rats ensures a safe environment for every family member. Check the website at batstorats.com for amazing offers. And if you mention this ad, you'll receive $10 off your initial inspection cost. Call Bats to Rats today at 402-781-8691. That's 402-781-8691. Bats to Rats.
With your weekly high school sports update, I'm Nick Sainert. Capital City Schools had a respectable showing last Friday with Lincoln High beating South Sioux City 26-21. Lincoln Northeast stayed undefeated and improved to 4-0 with a 35-27 win against North Platte. Lincoln North Star blew out Omaha South 57-8. And in an inner city matchup, Lincoln East shut out Lincoln Southwest 20-0. We now turn our attention to Week 5 action this Thursday and Friday night with Lincoln Southeast traveling to number 1 Millard South. Lincoln Northeast hosts number 6 Omaha North and number 4 Kearney versus number 10 Lincoln East this Friday night. This has been your weekly high school update on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Comfort food, but make it vegan. At Rutabagas, they're serving all your crave-worthy classics. Mac and cheese, loaded nachos, Philly cheesesteaks, all 100% plant-powered and 100% delicious. Catch them at their cozy spot at 70th and Vine, or find their food truck rolling through the streets of Lincoln. So whether you're vegan, veg curious, or just hungry for comfort food with a twist, Rutabagas has a plate waiting for you. Find them on Instagram for their food truck location and specials. Rutabagas, where comfort meets compassion.
With your weekly high school sports update, I'm Nick Sainert. Capital City Schools had a respectable showing last Friday with Lincoln High beating South Sioux City 26-21. Lincoln Northeast stayed undefeated and improved to 4-0 with a 35-27 win against North Platte. Lincoln North Star blew out Omaha South 57-8. And in an inner city matchup, Lincoln East shut out Lincoln Southwest 20-0. We now turn our attention to Week 5 action this Thursday and Friday night with Lincoln Southeast traveling to number 1 Millard South. Lincoln Northeast hosts number 6 Omaha North and number 4 Kearney versus number 10 Lincoln East this Friday night. This has been your weekly high school update on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
The party is back on in Lincoln this fall, and there's no party like the A1 Automotive Ticket Tailgate Pregame Show. Join the whole Ticket crew for 2.5 hours of pregame coverage before every home and away game this football season as they get you ready for the game. It's the A1 Automotive Ticket Tailgate Pregame Show at our downtown studio at 11th and O, sponsored by Select Plumbing, Raising Cane's, Wall-to-Wall Wine and Spirits, Elway Power Sports of Lincoln, Currency, and the Kindler Hotel. Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America, this is Old School. Sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese, Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Welcome to it. It is Old School back with you here on a Thursday. Got a good 3 hours lined up for you today. 93.7 The Ticket, ticketfm.com. Austin Norman and Jay Foreman, Old School crew, back in full effect. Glad you're hanging out with us here for the next few hours. Starter Hammond Jewelers text line. Y'all were on one yesterday. in the best of ways. Really appreciate you. Really appreciate your engagement and all of that entails. But let's bring him in, Husker Hall of Famer Jay Foreman. Jay, a happy bye week to you. Second day on the air. You've been handling some business, normal day off and all that in there. How are you, man? I haven't seen you. Talked to you in a while.
I don't know. Bye week, for whatever reason, gets busy. And then I got to take care of some personal stuff. So once we get into game week next week, you know, middle of the week, we'll be on. Because, you know, Tuesdays, we got the stiff arm. But either way, look, the great thing about the bye week, you generally can make it whatever you want. You know, you want to get something out of it. You're going to be there and all that stuff. I think for Nebraska, it comes at a good time because you can really sit back and evaluate your team in various forms, right? You had various teams that you played. You probably had a Cincinnati team, generally a good team to start with, gave you a little bit tougher contest than you like. And then you had, you know, two layups and two live scrimmages against the lesser opponents or whatever. And that's not to, you know, take anything away from them, but Nebraska was significantly better than both of those teams. And then you played a, you know, more than game team that Michigan that, showed you some things. It's very teachable tape. But then also mixed in all that is that, below the surface of all that, like all the because generally everybody, you know, fans or whatever, and it's legit because of the scar, I'll call it scar tissue or whatever, the ghosts of the past, which I never take Frost, Riley, Bo, Callahan into whoever's next. Now they're, you know, because they're not the same guys and the same staff. But also underneath there, they're better that they every year they've gone, they're better than year one, or year two is better than year one, and year three as of right now is better than year two. Now how much better, it kind of depends. And
so the bye week's for find out how much better you can be after.
Well, just in general, you know, the team's better now. How much better, we'll see when you get through the rest of the season. The Big Ten's the hardest conference in the nation. You started out with a team that has tradition and more than just a blue blood name in Michigan. And you know, you got to take your learning lessons. You got to continue to learn from the things you do well, because what you don't want to do is just go to the, you know, I guess I'll just say the right, but I don't get an apology. Just go to the right and just focus on, all right, well, we didn't do this and all that. You got to really, really hammer that, right? You got to turn that negative into or weakness that is not more neutral. And then also you want to look at, like, how can we get a little bit better at what we do well, right? Whether it's the short area passing game.
This is what we do well. This is what teams are going to try to take away. How can we stick to our bread and butter with a twist?
How can we get to it different ways? How can we still do it the same way, but do it better? And here's a simple adjustment that you can do. You could really study how I throw, like if I'm a quarterback, you're a receiver. Okay, how can I make it or Austin's job that much easier? Mm-hmm. How can I put Austin in a position against man-to-man coverage, bracket coververage, matchup zone, catch zone, standard zone, and go through all the different coverages as well, within your route tree? You could be home and, you know, at your house and say, Austin, hey, look, when we run this, we used to call it a fin or niff route. Essentially, it's an option route where you option off whoever's your defender. Okay, if I get this now and it's a blitz, you know, and I give you a little heads up now, this is going to be low and outside because number one, I'm protecting you. Number two, we got to slow them down off the blitz, but we got to get a completion as we get a positive yards, right? So then you can think of, okay, can I be better with my footwork, or can I be better in this? And this is all while you're doing good stuff whether you're getting first downs or whatever. And then you got to really, you know, see, okay, well, what can I do better individually so the team can operate collectively? But all that being said, everything that you do has to be for the purpose of winning, because that's the most important thing. You know, the guys that live forever, the great players, the Jerry Rices, the Joe Montanas, the Tom Brady's, the whoever, you know, the Jordans, the LeBrons, the Kobe's, and the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's. You can go through all the different names, you know, every sport is generally based on their winning. Their stats become that much better when you win.
Yeah.
Nobody remembers Dave Klingler. Do you know who he is?
Do not know who he is.
Right. He threw for like 80 million yards for the Houston Cougars. A really good, like a good college quarterback, mm-hmm. who wasn't able to win anything. The separation, the difference, and I'll just go like with that, the Houston Cougars. The difference between Dave, I think it's Klingler and Andre Ware. Andre Ware won some more games, and he won the Heisman. Now, that's an individual award, but he won more games.
Mm-hmm. He got the reward for the team success.
Yeah.
In fact, the team was better.
And within reason. You had mm-hmm. to do something special to be able to win a Heisman at that point in time in Houston. Mm-hmm. And so all I'm saying is that, you know, when you win and that the focus becomes on winning, it's you know, that's what you got to really, you know, get out of the bye week. You got to, you know, get happy and healthy. You got to get refocused. You can't look at it as completely off. You know, and I'll get on the soapbox a little bit. Right?
Well, it's just a week without a game.
Yeah,
it's
not, I'm gonna get on the soapbox a little bit. Okay, look, you two. If I was talking to young kids, you are too young to talk about your tired. All right, you don't know what tired is. You're getting paid, but when you really think about it, and I remember my grandfather used to tell me about that or talk about this. He said, "Listen, there's somebody that got up at 5 o'clock this morning. And he's not getting home until 8." You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And that same thing now. There's somebody that's really tired. And so you're not tired. Yes, you're physically compromised. But you got a bit nice facility and some smart people over there that are going to get you back to 100. And
for every day.
Every day. Mm-hmm. And also, let's not forget, you don't have a game this weekend, but it's a great way to still be engaged, but then also get some, you know, away time. Mm-hmm. But you're never away from football if you love it. You're never away from it from your job if you love it. That's the honest to God truth. And everybody needs a, you know, that, you know, that's why I got the bye week. You get a little time to do it. But don't think it's like, okay, now I'm going to go party and then I'll just fix it next week. Because as you're, you know, say Austin, you're coaching me and you're like, all right, Jay, I need you to be a little bit more, I need you to be better in your pre-snap. This is defensively, pre-snap communication. Pre-snap alignment and know the defensive system a little bit more. If I'm not even thinking about football, or if I'm not even thinking like watching football, I'm missing out on an opportunity to make that much better, be that much better of a player. Mm-hmm. And that's why the bye week's important. It's not just to get time off. Sure, they're going to probably be out recruiting, and that's what you always do during the bye week. But more importantly, the best recruiting tool, the best negotiating tool to get more money in the NIL, you know, space. Or whatever it is to come out as bye week a better player. Mm-hmm. And it necessarily isn't correlated to stats, because you know, the better that
stats are the byproduct.
Yes. And they'll come. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can play really good, and have 4 tackles. I can get 10 tackles and play average and we lose. What do you want? Because actually, mm-hmm. them 4 tackles, probably after you watch the tape, are probably like 8. And then and then on top of that, you probably made 4 or 5 championship winning plays. What I mean by that is I took my guy, defeated another guy, and there's Farley or whoever cleaning up, and he's getting a tackle for loss that flipped the game. Or
picking up the fumble, take back for the touchdown, just as a random offhand example. Don't know if that ever happened.
He picked up everybody else's fumble. Or this. Or I have a really good drop against, you know, say I have a really hard drop. And that means I gotta, you know, play through 3, come down late on 2, or whatever it is, right? You know, I'm in a compromise, but I do it so well that the quarterback panics and goes backside and you pick it off. Mm. That ain't in the stat sheet.
Yeah.
But I do it better based on what I do in the bye week. So it's a huge a week for the team that still has, you know, aspirations to do big things.
It absolutely is a huge week, and we can't draw any conclusions about the bye week until we see how Nebraska comes out against Michigan State and beyond. A couple times recently, Jay, I've heard the line of thinking that procrastination, oh, I'll do it next time. Oh, I'll get better next week. Oh, I can study this next week, when it's actually Michigan State week. I mean, procrastination is its own form of arrogance. Yeah. Who are you to assume that you're going to have the chance to catch up on that? You think you're that in control of your life that you push it off and something's not going to pop up that you didn't expect? Or, oh, I'll make that play next time. Well, sucks to say it. Who knows if it's your turn to get the career-ending injury, which we never wish on anyone, but happens. You can't plan for that stuff. And so it's important to keep that focus for Nebraska into the bye week, where there's been, I would say, Jay, on aggregate, more good than bad. I mean, Nebraska's 3-1. Maybe you can say they're 1-1 in games that count or matter, but you know what? The win-loss columns read 3-1. There's been a lot of good for Nebraska, which to your point, Nebraska has to double down on, get better, especially I think in the passing game has been good. Secondary's got to improve because you can only assume they're going to get more and more tested throughout the year. Then we get to some of the negatives, and that's the rush defense. We spent some time talking about that. Nick and I were having this conversation off air. He and I came up with just a general kind of target number. So right now, Jay, through these four games, Nebraska is allowing an average of 173.5 rushing yards per game. Last year, that number was 101.2 yards per game through 12 games. And then in 2023, it was 92.9 yards allowed through the 5-7 season.
Yeah.
As you look at this Nebraska team is currently constructed defensively and offensively, what's the target number that Nebraska's defense has to shoot for? We allow X number of rushing yards or fewer, and we got a chance to win.
I don't think there needs to be a target yardage. I think it's more like yards per carry.
Okay. So yards per carry.
Yeah, then. And I think that this is where you, like, this is a great thing about the bye week, and I don't know.
Which, reference, Nebraska opponents are 5.2.
Yeah, right. Now. You want to get that thing, you know, under four. Now, it needs to be, like, okay, you're at 5.2 right now.
Mm-hmm. You're not going to do it in 1 week.
Right. But right now, okay, starting for, and you make some adjustments in the run game, and really it was self-inflicted. Alignment, assignment, aggressive. That's what that came down to, them big runs. Okay, as long as we fix that, then what's our target? You know what I'm saying? That what's our target? And then you really dive into details. If you have a light box or essentially cover two or any type of like defense like that, you want to do it, then you want to make sure that you include or exclude the quarterback runs based on the team that you're playing, right? Because you could be really doing really well against conventional runs and the guy bust off a 60-yard runner, then that, you know, you got to keep it all in reality. But definitely below four, you know, and you want to keep, you know, inching towards it. And so you reset your goals. I'm sure you had goals coming into every game up until this point. Then you check them off whether you got them, right? You know, points per game, kickoff returns, all that stuff, right? Well, then you reset your goals right there. And then you have in mind how you're going to do it based on what you fixed or addressed through the bye week. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like, just say you're a pitcher, right? And say, you know, before the All-Star break, you know, your ERA is like, just say it's an 8. Well, and the All-Star break is hard because the season's almost done. But just say you're at the third part of the season and my ERA right now, because I got lit up a couple times, is 8. Well, then the rest of the season, I'm like, I don't know, I can be giving up two runs at, you know what I'm saying? Two runs. But I'm still at the end of the season at 5. You know, which is it? You know, it's no different than when the Colts went on that Super Bowl run. Bob Sanders not in there, and it was the worst defense in NFL history. He comes back. It's one of the best. They went on a run, a magic run. It's no different. A year after I left the Giants, when I was there, Eli's turned the ball over like at an astronomical rate. He finds a way to really hone them, you know, the turnovers down. You win a Super Bowl. And so you got to reset your goals. I definitely think it's underneath four. And obviously you want to, you know, make sure you want to try to, the best way to do it is try to keep them. I think the magic of numbers are like 26 carries or less. You know what I'm saying? And that would put you right around the numbers, like 100 or whatever. The reason why you want to keep them at 26, I think I'm trying to jog my mind back when I played, obviously, a long time ago, and I got some issues. But 26 or around there or less is because once you're at that threshold, that lets you know you're controlling the run game.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
They don't feel like they can run any more than that.
Because you don't want to get into 36 rushes. And sure, you can be at 3.6, but they're bleeding you. You know what I'm saying? They're hitting you. You know, they need three. They get four. That's it. It's kind of like that old, like, remember a few years ago during the COVID year, the Gophers, you know, when they kind of got in. Remember, they came down here with like 45 players, and they just, you know, that's it. It was 4 yards here when it was third and three. It was 6 yards here.
Yeah.
It was 2 yards on third one. So So I think you need to keep it below four. And obviously, I think if you control that, on top of obviously not giving up explosive plays in the passing game, then you're really putting in a position that where you can be, you know, whatever their, you know, yearly goals of eight regular season wins or more.
What's your target number for the Nebraska offense in terms of yards per carry then? If a defense wants to hold under four.
Yeah, definitely. Well, as a conventional run, I mean, obviously we don't have a lot of quarterback run. I would say, definitely, I think looking at the opponents, you want to be well over four, approaching five. You know what I'm saying?
Like 4.5 is a baseline?
Yeah.
4.5, 4.6?
Yeah, 4.6, you know, and above. I think they can easily do that.
And they're closer to that as an offense. Nebraska's right at 4.2 right now, averaging about 34.5 carries for 145-ish yards per game. So they only have to go up, you know, about a quarter of a yard per game or so to get to that target number, but 1.2 yards to get down just to an even four. And then that's per attempt. Of course, there are different opponents left on the schedule. Do you think that the defense's issues are simpler to fix or the offense's issues to get to those target numbers?
That's a good question. I think they're both easy to fix because they're self-inflicted.
What's the offense's problem? You mentioned the defenses. What are the self-inflicted things the offense is underperforming
at? You know, from my, like, I guess, outside view, like, here's where I think, like, if the fans are thinking it's scheme and play calls, you're 100% wrong on both sides. It's fixable because if it has to do with pad level, okay, on both of the lines, that's fixable. That's a control that I can control. That that means I actually got to go actively work on it. And there's going to be times I get my butt kicked, but the more times you do it, the more it becomes habitual. Right. That's really the fixable in the run game. You know what I'm saying?
When you say pad level offensive line.
Yeah. You just play, you know, you just got to play with better technique, you know, all that stuff better. It'd be more aggressive. And that same thing with defense. You got to, you know, line up right. And condense the formation, condense it when you set the edge, know the game a little bit more, know the tendencies of your opponents. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So you can play faster, so there's no hesitation. Then that will up the pre-snap communication on both sides of the ball. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And then some guys, you know, need to step up, whether it's whoever's in the backup running back position. At some point in time, you know, you got to grow up here. Right? Mm-hmm. At some point in time.
Yeah.
Because here's what I would say to whoever, right? And obviously they're younger than Emmitt. Okay. You can't tell me you're a young player because you would tell me you need to play as a young player. Mm. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's not an excuse at your convenience.
You can't be young when you want to be and experienced when you want to be.
There is none. Because, you know, I was able to start as a freshman. There's a lot of guys that had to wait their turn. You got to work while you wait. You're getting a tremendous opportunity to earn some playing time. The head coach is asking you, or, you know, trying, you know what I'm saying?
He's begging someone to step up
right
and help your starter out
and help your
team out. Help you out.
Right. So it's not like they, you know, they're not athletic enough. Well, then are you tough enough? Or are you smart enough? Or are you willing to put in the extra work or whatever it is that you're not doing well at? Mm-hmm. Sure. We can say the offensive line can, you know, we need holes as wide as O Street. That don't happen unless they mess up. So you have to execute at a higher level. You actually have to be more consistent at a higher level. Because if you're not playing right now, and the head coach is asking, you know, like, we need a relief pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the same three guys. And I'll even take Mosey out of it because he only been playing running back since, like, June.
Yeah.
Okay? So he's getting a little bit of grace, and he's just a true freshman. Them other two?
You've been here.
Get it going.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the harsh part of reality of college sports. Get it going, or we get somebody in here and get it going. And it's not because I don't like you. I'm giving you an opportunity. Sure.
It's because I need you. Your team needs you. You need you.
Right. But also the reality is this. It's a young team. I think it's one of the youngest in the nation. They are inexperienced by nature, meaning age, and they're inexperienced playing with each other. You have a lot of guys that played small roles that gave you snapshots, right, of good play that are now automatically.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Get us into serious roles where they got, you know, really perform. And so now, like, defensively, they got to really try to, you know, one, increase their leadership, right? And leadership, you know, everybody just views leadership as the guys that talk before the game, the guys that always have to say something. The best, some of the best leaders you never heard about at Nebraska because they went about their business and they would work behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And they would push you. And so, you know, all that stuff, you know, needs to be constantly fostered and worked on. And then obviously it needs to come to fruition and it needs to speed up right now because, you know, this schedule just got tougher because, you know, I always like to reference when I didn't, you know, handle my business, you know, because that's what you should do. Cause a lot of guys get on here and like, oh, I was the greatest. I'm not going to say that. And I always talk about that game when we played Buffalo, it was a revenge game. And I never viewed myself as a selfish person, but I selfishly was, I played selfish and getting caught the second one, trash talk. It was a league thing. That happens all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, I came out the womb talking junk, right? So, and I played against a lot of guys. I got a lot of guys that I played against talking junk, but then, and I can't even really say the next play, you know, that I was, a touchdown saving tackle that I tackled Travis Henry. He ain't 5 foot nothing, you know, and he was a hell of a running back. My point is this. I remember one of the refs came up to me and we had a bye week. Okay. And then finally I got, you know, had some tough talks with myself and, you know, my agent was great. My dad and uncles or whatever. Then we played Cleveland and I remember talking to him and then Tim Couch tried to get in my face or whatever.
Of all people.
Right. I was like, dude. And I just kept it moving just because I didn't have any like malice behind the last game. I was a big part of it. It just happened. Everybody wanted to blame me, but you bust cover four, you bust cover two. They ain't got nothing to do with Jay. But, you know, anyways. And we hadn't won. But I remember this ump came up and talked to me. He said, listen, for the next 2 weeks, refs are going to be looking to throw flags on you. He's like, next 2 to 4 weeks. He's like, I'm just giving you a tip. He's like, I've been, you know, and he had ref some of the games in college. He had refed all my 4 years in Buffalo. You know what I'm saying? So he was just, you know, he's like, hey, I understand. You know, he was cool. You know, he's an ump. And, you know, sometimes you conversate with those guys. And it's not a friendship, but it's a respect level that are there. And it was, and the reason why that's important, you just played a game where you didn't play up to your standard. Forget Michigan. You didn't play up to your standard. Right? So it's on tape. So now you have to understand Michigan State, and then we play what, Maryland?
Maryland.
Okay. Yep. So Michigan State, Maryland, let's just throw Minnesota in there.
And then Northwest.
And then Northwestern. So them next four teams all just feel like they got better or they got a better chance now. Now it's up to us or them or the players to make it not a reality.
Yeah.
But I'm speaking in reality. You know what I'm saying? And so they're thinking they're Michigan. And that's how the psychology of football works and how it all works. And so it's a great opportunity to shut the door right away. You know what I'm saying? Say, okay, we're going to come out in this next game against Michigan State and just obliterate them in the run game and then defensively and offensively. And then that's where you're at. But you cannot, like, gloss over that.
Right.
You cannot minimize the importance of where we're at. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And
you got to be honest with yourself.
Right. But that's where you can, if you got tangible goals and you really reset without being blind,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You reset the goals. And mm-hmm. and sometimes I know you're going to get some. Don't like, you can't say, all right, we're resetting the goals, so we forget about everything else. Mm-hmm. That didn't happen. Oh, yeah, it did.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. But we can move forward.
That you can. You can also move forward with a new Cash Blitz keyword. Text the upcoming word to 508-777-1000 or head to our website and click on Cash Blitz to enter. Today's keyword, party, P-A-R-T-Y. Text party, P-A-R-T-Y, to 508-777-1000. Remember, every keyword you enter is another chance for you to win. One lucky listener will take home $1,000 tomorrow around noon. Don't wait. Get keyword party, P-A-R-T-Y, into 508-777-1000. Now, you got a chance to do that over break. You got a lot of questions on our starter, Heyman Jewelers.
Yeah,
text
we're going to get to your question. We're going to get it. Don't
worry. We're getting to you right after this on Old School.
You're listening to Old School with Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Download the mobile app and listen wherever you are on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
We're back. It's Old School, Austin Orman and Jay Foreman. Let's just jump right into the Sartor Heyman Jewelers text line. You guys got a lot of questions. Let's go ahead and get to it. On the offensive line, Jay, from 1508, how much difference is there between a 6'3", 300-pound offensive lineman compared to a 6'6", or 6'8", 300-pound offensive lineman? Nebraska's guys look like they could be too skinny and tall.
Oh, I don't know about all. I mean, all this depends. I mean, depends on how long your arms are.
How quick your feet are.
Yeah, and, you know, what's your ratio from, you know, hips to, you know, from where you hit, you know, your torso and all that. And, you know, you're just your build of, you know, you got, you know, big hips, big butt, bubble butt or whatever it is. I mean, there's a variety of it. I think it's a little bit harder when guys are tall to be able to, you know, play low and get underneath guys. But I'm going to tell you what, man, if you guys ever want a chance to see a really good tall offensive lineman, number one, I went against Jonathan Ogden. He was throwing cats out the
big
club.
Big fella.
Hey, he got my boy Troy Evans. I'll make it. And I ran around him. I said, listen, man, you can go ahead and try to get into him. You're not. But it is a little bit harder. The Buffalo Bills right tackle. Former basketball player, is a really good athletic, you know, 6'8", you know, right tackle. But I don't think it's a, like, everybody now, this is the thing that's about, you know, I guess about fans. Okay, so we played three games. It's all good. We're back. Mm-hmm. We're scoring points like the 90s. You play against Michigan and lose, and now you're like, we need new players. No, you don't. You need to play better.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? We need to play better. We need to play. Like, when you play, this is where I always talk about it and or try to always convey to people. When you play, like, I became addicted to the big games. Mm. Like, when you're – I like that. Like, I'm talking about right now, I like that. I want you at your best. I want your heart. Because I don't ever want you to think that you could beat us, no matter no if and what. So I don't want the excuse, oh, we didn't play good. The quarterback ain't play all that. Nah, I want you to bring everybody so we can just kill them all.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So next time you think about playing us, you just have that recent memory that you don't have any, there's no way out. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And like Kirby said, there's nowhere to run and nowhere to hide. Right. And so, and I, you know, sure, you know, being 6'3 and 6'8, sure, you can get underneath your pads, but I've played against tall linemen that are hard. You got to know how to play your game based on your physical attributes and make it work. And this is what you guys need to understand about coaching. and this is, you know, I said this about Matt Rhule, but I'm going to say this about position coaches. The position coach's job is to take the blueprint of whatever he wants in whatever linebackers, whatever, and give you guys the blueprint. Then you need to take it and run with it because, you know, Farley was a linebacker. I was a linebacker, right? Sure, he played a different position than me, but we both were linebackers. But we all played in the same system. He made it work for him. I made it work for me. We made it work, the most importantly, together. Mm-hmm. And that's probably the most important thing. Everybody had, you're born, you know, I got relatively long arms. So it allowed me to do things that maybe, you know, a shorter arm guy. Like here's where I would push back against the texter here. Ray Lewis ain't 6 foot tall. He 5'10", 5'11". But my man got long arms.
He's got murder in his head.
He's got long arms, but he's got a great balance. Mm-hmm. What his long arms allowed him to do is get off blocks. His center of gravity allowed him to get off blocks. There was a time where a player of his size or even my size was too small to play linebacker. Mm-hmm. Now it would be deemed like we're like, you know, a lot of these linebackers, they're barely 6 feet tall. They're like little DBs. Mm-hmm. So I think it's just the better. You just need to just execute a little bit better.
Let's go to Gus Mohawk. What do you do with Elijah Pritchett in the tackle situation? He seems more physical at the position, but are you okay with him getting pulled after one false start every game? Number one, not up to us. It's on the coaching staff to figure that out. Jay, you have a better eye for this sort of thing than I do. Is there a clear difference at the tackle position between the guys Nebraska's rotating between? Has one guy stood out positively or negatively? And if so, who is that to you through four games?
I don't know. I don't get to watch him. I don't really know. I mean, obviously, I would say there hasn't because they all play.
Yeah.
Now, I think it was just Gutula and Pritchett last game, mm-hmm. right? So then that just obviously narrows it down to those two. So obviously, you know, it's safe to say, that those two probably have separated themselves. That's an assumption. Now, I don't know is because if Turner was playing tight end, sometimes he plays like big tight end. So
yeah,
I'm just going to assume that. You know, as far as the false starts and the stuff, that's just something that you got to really work through and you got to continue to work through it. And, you know, whether it's a mental thing, whether it's a co-offensive lineman thing, you know, like I think Henry, for whatever reason, kind of settled down Bryce Benhart last year just from a jumping off sides thing. Mm-hmm. He did. I think Bryce mentioned it. That's the only reason I said it. So that's where if I'm a Pritchett plays left. So if I'm left guard, so I don't necessarily even know who that is.
That's Henry.
Okay, that's Henry.
Because Rocker's
okay,
well on
then,
the right.
Yeah,
side.
So then, you know, mm-hmm. now you need to, you know, form that partnership with him. Now, I think if one of them individually, you know, whether it's through practice or group work. So for people who don't know what group work is, it's like linebacker drills that you work with your coach. Then you go and do defensive like stuff. Separate your, if one of these guys could just take it upon themselves to chokehold this opportunity, then that relationship with the rest of the four, mm-hmm. you know, takes off. So
consistency, it's dependability, it's
yeah.
You know, so, but
you know, you
mind,
can't jump off sides. And I will tell you this, just like I talked about when, you know, the refs looking for me. These refs are just trying to get kudos when they get their reports. So they're looking for you. Mm-hmm. So you have
Juwan Taylor knows all about it.
Yeah, you got it. So you got to remedy it. Mm-hmm. You have to fix it. Mm-hmm. And then once you fix it, they move on to something else. So now granted, he jumped off sides, but what I mean is like you have no leeway. Right. They don't give you a warning. Mm-hmm. But also it's something that you got to really work through. You got to really hone in on the cadence of Dylan. So what that means is this, like during practice, if it was me, right. And say you're Gutula and you're in, I'm going to try to get as close as possible to hear Dylan's cadence. Right. Mm-hmm. Because if I'm getting second team reps, I'm getting Latif's cadence.
And it's not the same.
It could be as simple as that. That, I mean, it not, now that's not the fix, But that's me.
But it's a step in the right direction.
But that's me taking the steps to eliminate a weakness. That means I, you know, yeah, you can get the water and stuff, but you got to be up there close. And you're, you know, you got to go and talk to the coach and express it. Like, hey, dude, I know it's a problem. We know it's a problem. I got to fix it. I got to hear it. Period. And then everybody else has got to help him with it. It can't be the one of those things like, we're going to keep you over there because you're going to need that dude. And he needs you. And he needs to play. And he needs to play better. We need you to be the dude that you're supposed to be. Now, whatever that is. Now, if you got to get better, if you got to, what you got to take care of individually, you need to take care of it. I wouldn't be on no vacation.
No. Not at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not early in the season anymore, but it's sure not late. There's still enough time for you to say, you know what? I'm tired of the rotation. I'm going to be the guy. I'm going to own my future. Everything in my power is that part. Everything in my power. Sometimes you just don't have it in you. You try your best, you don't get there. But learning the cadence seems like something that's in your control.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that's it. I mean, you got people always have like these, like people have, you know, definitely a filtered memory. You remember Cam Jurgens was having snap problems. Then eventually he fixed it. So it was something that he worked on.
Do you think he fixed it by standing on the sideline?
What do you mean?
He fixed it by reps.
Yeah,
he fixed it by doing 1,000,000,000 times.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's what you have to do, and so that's what he needs to do. And I will say this. Right now is a perfect time to try to rewrite your story if I'm Elijah Pritchard or in any if all the whole team, or just in particular, like we're talking about the offensive line. Here's why. Right? Right now, there's like the whole thing is like, oh, you haven't done what you're supposed to do, the X, Y, and Z, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whether that's 100% factual, somewhat, or none at all. It's somewhere in between.
Mm-hmm.
Right, there's always three sides of the story. His story, I guess I wouldn't say the coach's story, but then in reality, there's some right, but somewhere it's not exactly what is supposed to be happening.
Mm-hmm.
But if he goes and actively gets better at it, and then he starts to play better, then the team starts to play better. Everybody at the end of the season is like, man, that dude really got it to the grindstone. And then guess what they're gonna say? Oh, the coaches, they really did it. They the same coaches that everybody talking about getting rid of. They the same players everybody talking about getting rid of or whatever. And that's why, you know, fan is short for fanatic. They crazy.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes in a good way, sometimes in a bad way.
It's all right. It's part of the business. It's part of the deal. And it's really part of it when you get paid.
Hey.
Hey, man, that dude came in. Hey, he gave me the business when I was getting my cable done. All right.
He's getting out in 30 minutes. He's giving you the business.
Oh, he ain't even been no 30 minutes. It was just right off the rip. Pleasantries. Hey, man, I've been wanting to ask you how you missed that tackle against Sean Alexander on third down. He said, you better than that.
You see Sean Alexander and his wife just had their 14.
Hey, Sean Alexander, listen, brother. Okay, I don't know what you're doing. Oh, I know what you're doing.
It's too much.
You're doing way too much, man. Bro.
Like, we are pro-natalist here, but 14 of them?
That's just like, you know, it's like in a Christmas card. Here go another one.
Annual.
Yeah, I did it again. Just send it to him. Merry Christmas.
No need for baby shower this time. We're good.
Boy, just imagine you the grandparents. I'll be hot as fish grease.
You can't spoil them. There's too many of them.
That's when you just start naming them. Come here, number 8. Because you know you ain't getting no names right.
No.
You ain't getting no names right, man. So, but back to, let's get one more text before we go and we'll get back. Old dad 34, do you think we need to tackle more in practice? I don't know. I mean, sure. But I think really when it comes down to it, the best tackling teams do everything outside of the end product to make the end product easier.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm gonna say this. I was talking to my dad or something. So in all my years in the NFL, I probably had 2 tackles a year where they were just clean. And that's counting 2 like crappy years. So there was like the average, like 20, right?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't play 10 years, but just say about 20. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Every other tackle was just get that dude down. Anybody, any means necessary. Hustling to the ball, you know, simple stuff of, angles and aggressiveness and the little kind of nuances of it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, sure, you could tackle more to the ground. But also, I think condensing the formation, condensing where somebody has to come out of coverage or the second level, and all that is pre-snap stuff. You know what I'm saying? I think everybody's focused on the end stuff, right? Long runs. Mm-hmm. And they're saying, okay, well, the safeties need to tackle better. Okay, well, I would argue, or I would tell you from experience, this is where I will tell you I got experience because I've been on this side, is all those plays you can handle or have a better chance of stopping when you handle your business. Mm-hmm. So you handle your pre-snap business, your controllables, and then we can really hone in on the uncontrollables and how to really, you know, do better that way.
Absolutely. We are giving away $30 to Buffalo Wings and Rings when we get back to Old School, wrapping up hour one of the show. More Husker football ahead, as well as Thirsty Thursday coming up at 4. Some NBA headlines to get to as well. Fred VanVleet out for the year. And is Zion Williamson legitimately skinny now? It's kind of funny. We'll get to that at 4:30. $30 to Buffalo Wings and Rings, where Zion Williamson is probably not eating in a while after this.
Watch Old School live on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Your chance to win $30 to Buffalo Wings and Rings is now. Get your texting fingers ready, 402-464-5685. Jay, not sure if you saw this, but Tony Hawk sold a skateboard. Not just any skateboard, but the skateboard that he used to land his 900, his 3.5 flips. So my question for you, how many dollars did Tony Hawk skateboard that he skated and flipped a 900 with sell for at auction yesterday?
Oh. Million.
Jay says a million? Final answer?
Yeah.
Okay, 402-464-5685, texter number 4 with the correct answer. Over, under, or push $1 million for Tony Hawk's skateboard that he landed a 900 with. We'll win $30 to Buffalo Wings and Rings. I will tell you, it is a lot more money than I would have ever guessed a skateboard would have gone for. Even Tony Hawk. One of those guys that you know the name, but like how culturally resonant is the name Tony Hawk? Like, you know him, but how many people like actually watched him? You know, like, I feel like more people know the name than actually like paid attention to his skateboarding exploits.
But he's an iconic figure, man.
He is. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, he's a dude. I think a lot of people, like you said, know the name, but don't know. He was a cultural icon back when I was young.
Make a video game named after. A skateboarder.
Yeah. He's a dude, man. He's a legendary. I mean, his name is Tony Hawk, but people know him as Hawk. Once you get that one name, you like Bron and Jordan, all that Kobe, you there. He's that dude.
He is.
How much?
And his skateboard sold for $1.152 million.
Oh, yeah.
For a skateboard.
I mean, there's people out there buying, like, stupid stuff for a lot of money. So I knew for him doing that, because they're thinking, if I buy it for 1.1 now, heck, you could sell it in 2 years for 1.5, or you could just keep it. Because you know what's going to happen. Whoever has that money, they got enough money to do that. That's something they're going to brag about in their man cave. And they probably have other
stuff like that.
Yeah.
And the $1,152,000 are all going to Tony Hawk's charity. So there you go. Mud Dog.
Yeah.
You win. You win $30 to Buffalo Wings and Rings. Stop by the station and pick it up sometime in the next 30 minutes. Sometime in the next 5 minutes, Kevin Meyer, Meyer's Cork and Bottle, in for Thirsty Thursday, hour two of Old School, right after this.
You're listening to Old School with Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Download the mobile app and listen wherever you are on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
It's game on at Elway Power Sports of Lincoln, Nebraska's premier power sports dealership. stocking top models from Can-Am, Kawasaki, Honda, Polaris, CF Moto, Suzuki, Yamaha, Indian Motorcycle, Sea-Doo, and Triton trailers. Score big on our massive selection of Can-Am side-by-sides with rebates up to $3,000 on select in-stock models. Elway Power Sports of Lincoln has you covered all under one roof with a large selection of side-by-sides, ATVs, motorcycles, and personal watercraft at their 27th and I-80 location. They can't wait to get you set up for football season.
Home for sports talk on the FM dial. Also online at theticketfm.com.
On the internet.
KNTK FM Firth. 93.7 The Ticket.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.